Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. You know, it's a pretty rainy day today. We're joined today. We're starting a new week. Got a lot of things going on. Joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl and Linda. Had a great weekend.
You did have a great weekend?
Wet, rainy, and very busy, but otherwise pretty good.
Well, we're going to talk about ours here in a couple minutes. Of course, joined by Soulmate here. Hey, Linda.
Good morning. If it sounds like I've got a little bassy voice, it's because, well, you know, we did have a really eventful weekend. And we got home last night. Of course, we watched the Golden Globes with the in-laws. It was wonderful. They've took off early to head back. I wonder what that... I hope they don't have, horrible weather that they have to get through back to Tennessee.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that, a little bit of that, because we've got a lot of things going with the weather. But, yeah, they're on their way to L.A., and they could have they have delays right down there already because of rain.
Well, you want to talk about San Francisco and where we stayed? It was such a wonderful surprise. I love to be surprised. Well, our good friend Mike Quinn, of course, from KLXR, told us about this hotel in San Francisco called Hotel Majestic. So we got two one-bedroom suites, which was reasonable for San Francisco, I suppose. And it was the hotel. What an incredible surprise. Originally, it was supposed to be a residence that was built for an oil baron. And it's Olivia de Havilland, and who else who's lived there?
Joan Fontaine, Nicolas Cage stays there. A lot of the big names have stayed there.
But
it's been around since 1900.
Oh, my gosh, the antiques and the beautiful real period chandeliers. But it's like it's small, and so it has a bar that probably has, 20 seats in it? And it's called the Butterfly Bar, and it has the rarest collection of butterflies from?
Well, it's from Indonesia, New Guinea, all different places, and it's a large collection, but...
Now
they also have the bartender. Looks like he's been there since 1912.
We stayed on the fourth floor, and lo and behold, we didn't know this, but the fourth floor is supposed to be haunted
by a benevolent spirit.
And then we stayed in the suite that was supposed to have ghost sightings. I was a little afraid when I got up in the middle of the night a few times, not because of sounds or sights, but because of what I had heard. So maybe just that in itself was, for some, is worth the scare. But what about the cable car?
Rode the cable cars, and I remember when I used to live outside San Francisco, would go down there, and you could just hop on the cars no matter what, and, you jam on there. It was free. Now it's like $13 or something, or
$20. For one day pass.
Yeah, $13, and you have to wait in line, and I guess when you were there before, you had to wait for like, an hour or so to get
That's
on the
cable
car.
That's when we saw the naked bicyclists.
Yeah. Well, this time we didn't have to wait.
No, it was great.
And the next day they were almost empty. Of course, it was raining.
Yeah.
And
We went. We went. It was absolutely gorgeous. And it's the first time ever I've been to San Francisco where we started at the very base, which was where down by Fisherman's Wharf. And we went all the way down to Union Square. And it was so much fun. We hung in the pole. We actually, how you see in San Francisco, you hang on the pole and you hang out. I couldn't believe, though, when the cable cars were coming the opposite direction, how close those suckers are.
Yeah, you can pretty much touch each other. The other thing, too, that struck me is, we're having problems, of course, with our economy here, is that San Francisco had empty stores on the Embarcadero down there, which is the kind of a prime place. And where we went to dinner on Friday night was closing down on Sunday. Because the owner was having a tussle with the landlord and everything, and he said it's just too many things going on with the business community and such, so he's shutting down. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the things that are happening around around Redding today, especially in some of the weather caused problems. We're going to talk about the rest of this week. We're going to talk about today's show, and we're going to fire up and start talking a little bit about what's going on in this nation. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back. Good morning. It's Free Fire Radio here, Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. 50 degrees out right now, rainy. Okay, got this. Just in. City of Redding crews are ready to provide North State residents with assistance this week as they face high winds and heavy rain. Well, I'll tell you what, it is stormy out. Sandbags are available at Redding Fire Station number 4 on South Bonneview Road and the City Corporation Yard on Viking Way. Residents are only going to get 25 bags each. And residents should be careful to avoid downed power lines, which can be snapped by wind-blown branches. Residents are also encouraged to clear any drainage courses on their property.
You know, I understand that you're supposed to be getting up to 10 feet of snow in the Sierras this weekend. Now, you think about that.
Oh, man, bring it on. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. 10 feet of snow this weekend. And this is only the first storm. I understand that there's going to be a series of storms rolling in here, which it gets a little messy, and it gets, you know, there's a number of little things about it that, you know, that make life harder. I mean, you're out, you're getting wet and stuff. You know, I don't know about you all, but if there's a lot of rain, it gets underneath the house, and you can smell that, dampness, the whole thing. However, we need rain so badly that we need 3-4 weeks of this in a row. It'd be great to have 20 or 30 feet of snow up in the Sierras, not just for the skiers and the snowboarders, but for the runoff this year.
I just kind of want to back up a little bit and talk about when your sister and brother-in-law were here. Like, what do you do? Where do you take somebody if you have one day? Because, of course, we were going to San Francisco for the weekend. That's what they really wanted to do. So they took three flights, so they could fly into Redding. And so we had Thursday. So I took them across the bridge. They oohed and aahed how beautiful the Calatravis Bridge was. And then they wanted an In-N-Out burger because they don't have them in Tennessee. So we took them to In-N-Out, which was really wonderful. Tell me your French fry story real fast.
Well, why is In-N-Out burger always crowded? Has anybody figured that out yet? I mean, no offense to In-N-Out burger, but I've actually seen lines of people to go in to In-N-Out burger as I was driving by, and I was thinking, well, this is not even like noontime. So what's going on with that? And the first time I had an In-N-Out burger, and, you know, they're fine. I mean, okay, they're hamburgers. The French fries. I ate the French fries a little bit, and I took it back and said, there's something wrong with your French fries. So the girl looks at me. She says, okay. She hands me another box. And so I eat those, and I realized they all taste the same. And then I read about, you know, it's no trans fat. It's, you know, it's fresh and all this, and I'm thinking, wow, I guess I was really addicted to that, you know, that beef fat that they used to cook in McDonald's because they seem like they taste different.
So. Okay, so then we went from In-N-Out, and we drove up to Whiskey Town, and then we took them to French Gulch and turned around and came back and went to Need for Speed. How much fun. How exhilarating. They had a press day a couple years back when they first opened.
This is their second anniversary.
Yeah, they had a bomb scare.
This week.
Remember the first day they opened? They had a bomb scare. If you can go back to 2 years ago and remember that downtown in the mall area. But anyway, so we I beat you by, what, tenth of a second?
A tenth of a second, which is fine, but you bumped me off the track.
6054567
Now,
we're taking your calls this morning.
The thing about it is it's a business that's got its second year, and they're getting ready to expand it, and they're putting indoor miniature golf in this place. And, it, you know, they've got a number of employees there, the same lady's managing it. Mm. But it's a success story in the sense that they've been running for 2 years. When there's other places around here that are, as they're shutting down, Need for Speed is expanding, and I think that's great.
It was a lot of fun, though. I think our in-laws, your sister, I think they were really pleasantly surprised that you can talk about, wow, this place really does great go-karts, but they don't get it until they're there. It's like the Calatravis Bridge. Can't get it until you actually walk across it and see it and feel it. You just don't get it. A cable car, you can talk about it. But until you really experience it, we jammed a lot of stuff in 4 days, and it's Monday. Are you ready?
Yeah, well, we are, because today we kick off our small business. We are going to spotlight a small business today, and we're going to do this every week. bring in another business, whether they advertise, you're just bringing ones to advertise with you. Well, maybe we will, because we like the businesses, of course, they advertise with us. But these are ones, the one today doesn't, and that we are.
They've been very generous with us, in certain ways that have been incredible.
And it's, Biggins Lighting, and they're going to be in here in a little bit, and we're going to be talking about business here in town. But every week we're going to have that. We're going to have a business that we showcase so that you all can hear about it. So it's a local business that we can go out, that you can visit, you can shop there. And one of the things we want to talk about in the upcoming shows is how we can promote businesses besides just being on our show. That what can we do if you don't have a website, which is obviously where it's at. If you don't have a website for your business, how can we help you get one at no cost, which is the big thing, is how can we help you start? You may not be shipping things out via the Internet, but why can't you put what you sell on the Internet? So when people are searching for it and they see it right here in town, as somebody told us the other day, they were looking for going to do a drum set for their son. And then when they went out on the Internet, they looked, I'm just going to shop on the Internet, blah, blah, save all the time. But they said, no, I'm going to make an effort to shop here.
And locally.
Locally. And they Googled, I guess you can use that term, Googled drums.
In Reading.
It's now a verb. They Googled drums in Reading, found a place, went down there and bought them. That is where we have to be. That's where the future's got to be. We have to support each other in the businesses. And I don't want to talk, I'm beating the drum for small businesses here. That's the only way we're going to expand our tax base, the only way we're going to be able to pay for things. When we come back, we're going to start at the national level and work our way down about what the heck is going on in Massachusetts. And, hey, what happened to the Chargers yesterday? Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back. It's Free Fire Radio. Good morning. It's 50 degrees and raining. Oh, gosh. Wear your overcoat. It's going to be stormy all week. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Had dinner there last night. Phenomenal with the relatives. They just could not. They talked about it this morning, what a killer dinner it was. So head out there just a short distance away from Reading on the way to Shingletown.
And the chef, John, who is a huge supporter of the San Diego Chargers, was not happy yesterday. I don't know how you can describe what happened when the Jets upset the Chargers in Charger Stadium in sunshine. You could say, okay, maybe it was raining or was that, but didn't they beat them? Now I'm going to talk about it. Okay, let's talk about what's going on back on the East Coast. We're not talking weather. We're talking politics. We're talking about the Democrats are in a slight panic.
Someone's in the lead.
Yeah, it looks like right now I saw today the Republican Scott Brown, who, by the way, is not just a kind of like a rhino and Republican in name only. This guy's a conservative Republican from everything I've read. He was ahead of the Democrat former Attorney General of Massachusetts, Martha Coakley. He was ahead of her by like 6 percentage points. It wasn't like a dead heat statistically. He was ahead of her by 6 points.
In the lead.
And they're going to have the election tomorrow. So, they're talking about, this has caused a lot. This is causing panic in the Senate or in the Democratic House and also in the White House. They're trying to figure out how they can salvage the health care package in case Brown wins. So they've come up with a plan, a possible plan, though some people think it's not going to happen, is that the House Democrats, instead of, making changes on the plan the Senate gave them and then sending it back to the Senate. See, what they do is, the House passes a plan, then the Senate passes a plan, then it goes back to the House, they make their changes, goes back to the Senate, and then they just keep, they keep talking back and forth till they get it. What they're afraid of is if Brown wins, there goes the 60-40 that they can push the health care plan through. Now, a lot of people are really, the Democrats are really looking at this because they're starting to get, the ones that are coming up for election, they see the writing on the wall. If you could have a conservative Democrat in Massachusetts take Ted Kennedy's place. I mean, how big is this? What's that tell everybody? So what the House is looking, and Pelosi, and even though she said it wouldn't happen, they just may accept the Senate plan the way it's written and then pass it. And if that happens, then it goes back. However, you know, the House Democrats, you know, especially liberals, are really a little bit upset about this. They're not. They are a lot upset about it because it would increase taxes. It would, even though it wouldn't cover as many people, that the plan being so complex that they still haven't gone through it. But what's going to happen is if they do accept it, then it goes back and it can pass. The other plan I've heard about, and it's been said, is that even if Brown wins, they're not going to see him right away. They're going to push through the health care plan. And this health care plan is, you know, at what point does integrity just completely go out the window? I mean, they've already had the Louisiana Purchase with the senator from Louisiana and what they gave Louisiana. And then, you know, then the Cornhusker Express when they gave Nelson Medicaid for his state forever, and that I'm paying for and you're paying for and Bob's paying for and your kids will be paying for because it's forever on this health care plan. And now the unions. You know, they were going to start taxing these gold-plated plans, these Cadillac plans that people paid, you know, $10,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year for health care plans, right? So what's going to happen? So they said, wait, we're going to tax those. Well, here come the unions. And we talked about this last week. But here's the bottom line on it is, oh, well, you know what? We're going to not do it if you belong to the AFL-CIO or some other unions. We won't start that until 2018. 2018, you know, after the, you know, the changes and all the parties in there, then part of your insurance plan from the unions then would be taxed. Talk about a backdoor deal. Talk about getting into a closed room, the cigars are out, and there's a bunch of porkers in there figuring out what they can take from us, the taxpayers. From us, the people that are working at paying the taxes, and then now we don't get exemptions. I don't get an exemption. You don't get an exemption, but if you're a union person, you get an exemption here. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. Oh, also, if you're a government worker, it doesn't touch you there. What happened to the days that government workers made less money than the rest of us? It's gone. It's gone. And you know what? And people say, well, you know, well, gosh, we have them, they're making, you know, like $40,000 or $50,000 a year. $40,000 or $50,000 a year in Reading is more than the average income in Reading. Let's go back to what's happening. The Democrats are running scared. We've got a chance to see a Republican taking Teddy Kennedy's place in an election tomorrow. This is huge. This is huge, and the change could be, you know, could just be the beginning of another change that just sweeps through America. Now, I'm not saying that everything in that health care bill is bad. It's not. But there's things in it that are horrendous. There are things in there that we will be paying for forever. There are things in there that are unfair. You know, at least make it fair. Let us all feel the pain, not just part of us. Why are we paying again? Why are we paying for other people's mistakes in life? I don't understand that. If they genuinely need help, like the people in Haiti need help. But if it's a mistake and they're clueless, I don't want to pay for it. I don't want the health care bill to say I'm paying for people's mistakes because they use drugs. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. I was just kind of listening to the music there. What was that?
That was Dire Straits.
You know, I really like Dire Straits, too.
Yeah.
Carl and Linda Bott here. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You know, I was going a little rant about what's going on to us. But, you know, we're going to change gears here because we said how today we're starting on showcasing local businesses. And our guest is Mary Biggins Branson from Biggins Lighting. And we are so happy that you're here.
Thank you for inviting me on.
You know, the reason that we you know, and how do we start? You know, how do we pick? Well, you know, we've done business with you all before, and we have always been extremely happy about the way you treat us and then other people we talk to, the customers. It's, you know, it's great. So we want to start with local businesses, and we're pushing local businesses. And
shop local.
Shop local. So why not start with you all?
Well, thank you. That's great.
Okay, so Mary, good morning and welcome to our show.
Good morning.
This is so cool.
It's a rainy day.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful day. We need it.
We do.
We take it, don't we? Tell us, tell our listeners about the history of Biggins, how it began, the year it started, the conception of it and all that.
Well, in 1970, my folks, Harry and Stella Biggins, started the showroom, the lighting business. My dad was an electrical contractor by trade, and my mother worked at the phone company. They knew nothing about the lighting business. And back in the 70s, there was not very many lighting manufacturers per se to choose from. So they took their life savings, rented this little space on Pine Street, and said, we're open. And they opened it up and started along their way. And it was very difficult in the 70s. And they hired some people and got things rolling. They were the only show in town at that point. And then my dad and my mom always believed to build the business was to actually help the consumer direct versus the other wholesalers in town. You had to be an electrical contractor, and then the electrical contractor would then go sell the product to the homeowner. Well, they went around that, and because my dad was an electrical contractor, he would help the guys put in their own breakers. He would show them how to wire their own little thing. And that was the direct customer base that we have developed, and that's how we've been able to stay in Reading for 40 years.
Showing the consumer how to do it, how to just, you know, here, be self-sufficient.
Me and my husband, Kenny, we bought the store in 1998 when my folks retired. And closed the electrical because me and him wanted to focus just on lighting. And that's about the time when things started really heading upwards in Reading. This has been the best 10 years in the history that we've ever seen of Reading in construction.
Well,
that's our base.
From 98 to last year?
We were still really fairly busy in 08, up to 08. And then in September of 08, it crashed, literally.
Right.
I mean, things crashed.
Well,
so.
What are you seeing now, Ben?
We're actually picking up quite a bit in October. Things have really, really started coming up.
Remodels?
Everything. The construction, you know, it seems like maybe a little higher. The more custom homes on your lotters or what we call. Maybe they had a lot they bought 5 years ago. Now they're building it out. Contractors are out there. They've lowered their prices. Everybody in the industry has lowered their prices just to keep their workers working.
Hey, work is work.
That's
it. Let's just keep going on the roll. We bought lighting from your store before, and you have excellent customer service.
That's all we have. That's the base of any family business.
Well, that's one of the things that We try to, I guess we try to push out to people. We try to express ourselves in the sense that, yeah, you can go to big box stores.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the local stores, as not only can they probably match it if you talk to them, but they also, you know, the way they do business is by customer service. They care about getting you back in where, you know, sometimes you run into the large stores, people don't really care that much. Because they're just doing a job. With you, it's your your livelihood that you have to make people not have to, but you thrive because you want your customers to come back. And if they're happy, they will.
Well, absolutely. When somebody walks in our store and they say they need a ceiling fan, right? We're going to say, how can we help you? And then we sell them the fan. We tell them about the fan, how it's going to work. You walk into a big box store per se. What happens there? Oh, that's a nice fan on the ceiling.
And you know
that's
your
it.
Manufacturers,
you know
yeah. the ins and outs of that particular, like an instrument. This mm-hmm. is how it plays. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you need? How much do you need? Is it for over your bed? Is it your dining room? If it's this far away from where you're sleeping,
right.
then you probably would this one be better over that one. So, you know, it's an education because lighting is so important. I find it fascinating. It's almost like your lighting is the jewelry of your home. I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have, like, crummy-looking carpets and not-so-great furniture, but if you've got great lighting and how you light, I've always found it fascinating how a dimmer switch can mm-hmm. be a dimmer switch in the kitchen can make your kitchen look clean.
Absolutely. It's great for entertaining. Well, how about exterior lights on dimmers when you're out at the patio? You know, that's a big thing that I like. I like to dim my lights down when you're out on the patio entertaining and, you know, doing your thing. People don't think of those things. That's our job.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about what you're seeing here for the future. Doing business in Reading, I really want to talk about that as far as working with the city officials. You know, not to put anybody on the spot, but, you know, what you've gone through, either good or bad with that, what you've experienced, either good or bad with that. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's rainy outside. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe's, you can get that cup of coffee, you get that latte, you get that double shot of espresso that makes you shiver on the way out, and you get them at great prices that you go back and have two or three. Joe and Shelley, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, so much more than just a tobacco shop.
Our guest today is Mary from Biggins Lighting, and we're talking highlighting local businesses. You know, Carl and I are all about shopping local, you know, just keeping our economy going by shopping local. Welcome back to the show, Mary.
Thank you.
And we were talking about, before we took our little break there, about, what you've run in, any kind of situations with special taxes or something that might have been, that has changed a lot in the last 20, 30 years, besides the fact that taxes have increased. But, you know, with city officials or getting permits or these kinds of things.
Well, we really don't run into that too much. We aren't an electrical contractor. You know, we're just a retailer, wholesaler type thing. But I will say when about 10 years ago, I had really a taste about city government and government in general. And it was when we went to paint our building, and we had a reputable contractor that he had just painted a building down the street, and I called that business owner and asked him who did it because he did a wonderful job, and he came over and gave us the price on painting our building, and let's say it was $5,000. Then I heard about the Enterprise Zone tax credits. Because our business is located in the Enterprise Zone, at that time the state of California or the city was giving 50% off or something of giving you tax credit. So I call up the guy I needed to at the city and spoke with him, and he said, yeah, we'll pay for that, but you need to use a contractor that is basically a prevailing wage. And I said, well, so you're not going to pay for this contractor that is going to do my building for $5,000. You'll pay for a contractor that will do it for $10,000. And he laughed because it was so ridiculous. I mean, so he goes, yeah, that's basically what – I mean, as we're talking, I mean, it's ridiculous. They want to spend $10,000 of taxpayer dollars instead of – I didn't take it. I said, I'll pay for it. We'll pay for it ourselves.
Well, you know, one of the things that we'd like to bring a spotlight on is little fees or little regulations. You know, we're talking about more and more regulations as we mm-hmm. go on. And one of the things I'm going to be talking about next hour is taken away our elective process for a couple of our pretty important jobs here in our city government, which is kind of a scary thing. We're going to talk about that too. But you know, every time we have people on, we want to ask has the city government been helpful, or has it been at times been not so helpful? It doesn't mean the people that you're working with are bad people, or that they're obstructionists. Maybe a lot of times they're just having to read the regulations the way they are. And when that happens, though, it has a huge impact on people doing business and people that want to open a business. So every time that we talk to a business, and some of them said, hey, I've had nothing but great experiences with City Hall. I love to hear that. We love to hear that. But if there's other things, then it's time to, like we said, put a little light on it.
Well, like I said, we don't really get involved with them too much. We've done a lot of their homes, of their homes. I can't really say one way or the other. I do see some of the things that they're doing, being here my whole life. Reading has really changed, I'll tell you that. Looks like Reading has really had a lot of tax dollars come into its flow in the last few years with all the new buildings they're doing and things like that, which I don't know if I have an opinion one way or the other,
As we're moving forward.
Supply and demand. One of the things that struck me about Mary and Biggins Lighting is what we talked about before, and that is, again, we're going to go back into shopping local. And you had, we discussed this one day. I came in to buy a light bulb, replace a light bulb, and we were discussing the fact that many of people who buy online think they're going to save money. Mm-hmm. And your response to me when we were talking about that was, if you go online and see what you can get that fixture for, come to, what did you, you want to finish that for me?
Well, the lighting industry is primarily, lighting showrooms are 95% owned by families.
Yep. Really?
Mom and dad started it, grandma and grandpa started it, the children are taking over. Yeah. And so there was a lot of concern when lighting went internet, because they were selling lighting for a scream, 5-10% on costs. How can you compete with that? You know, we have rent, we have payrolls, we have flooring, we have all this stuff, right? Just do a click and let them make all the money. So the industry, lighting industry, screamed, and the manufacturers stepped up to the plate and created UMAPs. It's called Universal Minimum Advertised Price on the internet.
Okay.
And their markups are generous, and it's very easy to compete with these internet prices. Very easy. I mean, my showroom is a lot, my marked price on my floor right now is a lot less than you can buy off the internet. And they did that for, to come into the store and do business local with your local lighting store.
Great. So I think that's what we really wanted to get out there, was that a lot of people, again, think that they're going to save money, or it's a convenience factor of going online, when in fact, if you go into Biggins Lighting or stores like Biggins Lighting and you say, here's what my price is on the internet, you can beat it, match it, mm-hmm. and you're shopping local where the money stays local.
We have people come in all the time with their little sheets. I found this outside light online. Can you find me something like it? Or we're right there, you know.
And, you know, a lot of times people forget shipping and handling.
Mm-hmm.
Is it looks really good, and then there's like a $12 handling fee and mm-hmm. then plus the shipping to get it to you. So,
and it screws again. Missing and glass broken and electrical contractors. A lot of them won't even install stuff on new construction that comes off the internet because they don't have the support of our service. We come out and we handle all that in a new construction type situation.
Well, we've run into that, and because we can't get some of the things here in the radio, you know, engineering trade, it's just not here.
Mm-hmm.
And but we have gotten stuff that has literally screws missing,
mm-hmm.
which we have to send back.
Is that a service you provide at Biggins Lighting, where actually somebody says, look, I want to come and I want to do an update on my lighting? Somebody will come from Biggins Lighting and say, come into the showroom and we'll do this, and then we'll come out and install it?
We don't install.
Okay.
We don't
Your
install.
Contractor will do it. You recommend a contractor, though, but you'll help somebody with design?
Oh, yeah. That's what we do. We design, we'll, you know, work off your electrical plans with the contractor. That's our base, contractors, designers.
That's great.
My husband, Kenny, Mr. Fix-It, he can come out and do anything on a new, like a contractor will call and say, this fan wobbles or this glass is broken or, you know, for our contractors and for new construction, we come out and service after the sale. We service after the sale. That is a big thing for us.
You know, this is the perfect way to start off showcasing businesses from our city is just this way, is that, hey, you know, we're going to service our customers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make sure that they're happy. And this is why we're going to showcase a different business each week so that when you're looking for something that, let's look local first before we have to go anywhere else. Hey, we've got to take a break, and we're going to come back and say goodbye to Mary. And this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, here on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines are 605-4567. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, KCNR 1460. Let's go to the phones.
Tim,
good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
Hey, just a major kudos to you guys for tackling this as a topic this week. I think it's so important to really get the word out and for people to understand the importance of supporting local businesses. I've enjoyed learning a little bit more about Biggin's Lighting today. You know, one of the things that you guys were talking about, you know, the internet, people coming in with pricing. In my business, that happens all the time. And we do our best to try to meet or beat those prices. But, you know, bottom line, if a person wants to find a better price, if it's solely price-driven, typically they're going to find somebody who's got a better price, you know. The difference is, what about the local service? What about talking to somebody face-to-face and getting real answers in real time, real life? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, and we'll stand behind what they sell.
Press one for English.
Yeah, exactly. And so in our business, you know, I mean, that's what we really, it's not just the products that we sell, but it's the service, and it's the availability. And beyond that, of course, you know, the support of local business and what that means for our local economy. And so I really try to be a cheerleader for local business, and I just really appreciate that you guys are tackling this topic this week.
Well, you know, this is going to be, like I said, this will be the one, you know, for this week, this business. But then what we want to do is have people just, you know, email us at carl@kcnr1460.com. And, you know, nominate a business for this. We'll be more than happy to, we'll take nominations to put them on. And every week we're going to have a business like this. And then we're going to have probably at some point, we're going to have a business, small business week, small businesses and the government.
Yeah. But all facets of our community. I mean, I talked about this with Carl. It doesn't matter if it, you know, the guy who rotates your tires and the guy, the shoe shine guy, the cleaners, fascinating dry cleaning business.
The new business, the old business.
Yeah, and so you're right. This is what drives our beautiful, the North State here. And we want to see Reading flourish. And so this is one way for us to be able, and thank you for acknowledging that, because we want to be able to give a voice where you might not have seen gone into Biggin's or really know that this is a family-owned business since 1970.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, what's your business, Tim?
Scarborough Office Design.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I should have recognized your voice, but you're right. No, but this is exactly where we're coming from. Is we know you stand behind yours. We know that Mary stands behind hers. And the fact is that this is the way that people are. You know, if you do business local, it's, you know, 80% of the money stays local as opposed to 40%.
Right.
That goes away. I mean, you know, and, you know, it's not just small businesses. It's, you know, it's radio corporations. It's TV corporations. It's just the big guys that they don't really care. Anyway, hey, thank you so much.
All right. Hey, guys, keep it up.
Mary, any closing thoughts?
Thank you for having us on. I mean, just what Tim said. Thank you for giving us this forum. I mean, this is.
And what's the name of your mascot? Your big mascot there, that your boy.
Barney.
Barney is a
Maltipoo. We call him Malta Moose because he's like extra large, but he sits there behind the counter and
so cute.
Our customers walk in and is that
moose.
Real? Is he real? And then he moves.
Barney the Malta Moose, okay?
He's adorable. He really is.
Only at Biggin's Lighting.
Yeah. Come see Barney. Yeah.
Hey, we appreciate you stopping by, Mary, and that for being our first guest on this. And like I said, every Monday morning at 7:30, we're going to have a new business. And, you know, we have a variety of guests, as we had last week. We have a variety this week. We're going to talk about that when we get back from the news. But again, thanks a lot. And if everybody would just give our local businesses a chance, we wouldn't have to worry so much about losing first responders.
I think people want to. I think they do.
I think they do.
I believe people have, especially things have changed in the last year. The country's changed permanently. But I really think people want to do business local. They might feel a little bit uncomfortable about bringing that in, but come on in.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Mary, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Or if you feel better about just sending us an email, it's Carl or Linda at KCNR1460.com. You know, when Mary left, we were talking just for a couple minutes before she left. And one of the things she pointed out we didn't bring out is these businesses, these local businesses, are the breeding grounds, if that's the right word, are the garden for other businesses. So the people that come to them, they learn how to, in this case, say, be an electrician. They go out from there and they start their own businesses. Or they start their own lighting companies. And so that a local business is not just for right then. It's also the future. Because where are your electricians and your plumbers going to come from? They're not going to come from a big box store that just kind of comes into town and says, hey, by the way, we have 25 plumbers here. They've learned. They learn from these local businesses. Okay, and speaking of big box stores.
Walmart, of course, out of Arkansas, said Monday it's going to close 10 money-losing Sam's Clubs. If you didn't know that Sam's Club is a Walmart. Not that that really affects Reading, but this is interesting. That's going to cut 1,500 jobs. But the stores that are going to be closing as of January 2nd are in Nampa, Idaho, La Quinta, California, Louisville, Colorado, Vista, California, Rolling Meadows, Illinois, New York, and the cities of Houston, Phoenix, and Sacramento will each lose one store. So there are four stores closing from in California.
You know, and here's the thing about it is, and we were also discussing this, and Bad Bob said, it's like the meteor that hit, that you've either got to adapt or you're going to go out of business. And here is probably the most successful business in the United States, you know, well, maybe Microsoft, but that makes literally, you know, millions of dollars per second is having to close 10 of their big stores. That's a huge thing.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Gary. You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda. How are you this
morning?
We're
great.
Yeah, you know, Gary called last week and was, this is Gary Cadd, by the way, and talked about this meeting that's happening tomorrow with the city council that's going to have could have a direct impact on our ability to have some oversight of City Hall.
Yes, the City Council has voted to put a measure on the June 8th ballot that would ask us, the people, to allow the City Council to appoint the City Clerk and the City Treasurer. And I think that we ought to be electing those positions. The council more or less tells us that they probably could pick better people that are more qualified. I think that the people can have a better chance of picking the right kind of people. It's down to a situation of accountability and responsibility. The people have the right to be able to elect their officials, city officials, state, federal, and I don't see that we should be giving up our right to to elect someone to allow the city council and city staff to be able to appoint people in these positions.
Well, I think that that's, you know, that one of the things that when you start taking away the citizens' rights to elect officials that are in kind of oversight positions, is then we have the danger, and I'm not saying we have a bunch of felons running, you know, city government or anything like that, is that it gives them now an inordinate amount of power on everything that's happening. And they can, you know, they can lean on people. It's, you know, look at the sheriff. Now, a sheriff's an elected position. And if they want to lean on him, you know, the sheriff can lean back, as opposed to the police chief, and I'm not saying this happens, but, you know, he can only make so many, statements before somebody may come down on him.
Well, it's just like the city clerk that we had that retired in June, Connie Stolmeyer. I mean, wonderful lady. I mean, I've gotten along with her. I mean, she's very, very professional. And when I first met her and talked to her, she said, well, Gary, she said, you know, she said that my position's elected. She said, I owe my allegiance to the people, not here in City Hall. She said, I'm held accountable by the people. And there's a point there, because you have the city council, you have the city staff, and the city clerk's office. And if the city clerk's office is appointed by city staff, the city clerk is going to be swayed by city staff. And the clerk's office, the qualifications which show on the agenda item that comes up Tuesday, in Tuesday's meeting, shows the qualifications of both the clerk and the treasurer. Now, last April the 7th, I believe I emailed you guys the links to these different dates,
yeah,
agendas
it.
That I'm mentioning to you. But last April the 7th was when they first took up this meeting, and they put together what they call an ad hoc committee to study the issue. And the members of the ad hoc committee were council members Stegall and MacArthur, and then city manager Kurt Starman were on this committee. And then a month later, on May the 5th, they came forward with their recommendation, and that recommendation was to appoint these two positions and put it on the ballot, because they have to ask us if it's okay with the voters before they move forward. So at that time, they voted to go move forward with it and to have the city attorney, Rick DuVernay, put together the language for the ballot initiative. And they also appointed Mr. DuVernay as city clerk, as acting city clerk, until such time as they were able to appoint someone, or they got the answer on June the 8th to go ahead and make the appointment.
Yeah, hey Gary, so, we're going to have to take a quick break here. You hang on, because we want to get a little more information about it, including, you know, just what kind of oversight that city clerk has.
Okay.
Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
8:15 in the morning. Good morning. It's Carl and Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460. Currently 50 degrees, foggy, misty, light rain. It's going to be it says today is going to be around 48 degrees, but right now it's 50 degrees and it's raining and it is windy. And this is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We went there yesterday for dinner. Fabulous. And they are going to have a special Valentine's. Boy. And I'm going to. I think we're going to post the menu. Yes, Valentine menu. So you better call out there as soon as you can, because from what I understand from Chef John Stadelli, it is. Well, there's already one seating that's gone. I think the
4 o'clock seating is filled. There's still some for the noon seating, and then there's I think some for the 8 o'clock. But it's a special menu out there. They do really good work.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, our guest Gary Cadd. Well, it's kind of a guest. You just called in, Gary. What's happening tomorrow?
Well, Carl, before we go forward here, something just came to mind. The acting city clerk at the moment is Pam Mize, and I would like to make the statement and get this out that Pam is a great lady. She does a great job, and by no means is her work as acting city clerk. Am I reflecting on that? This is an issue between the people and the city council and the city staff. So I just wanted to say that. Now, having said that, you mentioned before the break, what are the responsibilities of the city clerk? Well, on agenda item 9.14A, on next Tuesday's agenda, there's duties of the clerk. So on page 2 of this document.
I know that they manage the schedule. They do the election process through which the city council members are elected, the assisted candidates in meeting their legal requirements, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot to it then, especially when it comes to voting.
Oh, yeah. Well, the city clerk has to keep an accurate record of the proceedings of the legislative body. The clerk shall maintain records reflecting a financial condition of the city. City clerk shall have a summary of the city's financial report.
Yeah. Okay.
City clerk keeps a book of all the ordinances, the correct and copy of all ordinances, the ordinance number, publishes and posts pursuant to law. The city clerk keeps the city
We need to, we're going to talk about that. The thing about it, though, is it seems to be it's going to be a more and more technical job.
Well, yeah, it is a more and more technical job, and I don't think that we need to raise someone up within city government and then have city council and city staff appoint that person. That person should come from within our
community.
Our community, it's just another way of taking a vote away from
us. Now, and that's what I'm concerned about, is the fact is that here's something else, that's being taken away. But the way we're going to let our voices be heard is the meeting tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Because keep in mind real quickly, when this first started back on April the 7th and then went to May the 5th, it was just a city clerk. Now this issue is on the agenda for next Tuesday night, and now they've also included the city treasurer also. And I know that there was a possibility of someone running for treasurer this last time that may have had a problem. But I think the people, just as well as the council, can make those decisions on who they need in these elected positions.
At least the people have the right to overview. Okay, what time is the meeting tomorrow, Gary?
It starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at City Hall.
Okay, so...
And one thing that if I could mention very quickly, on the May 5th, on the city website, on the May 5th, if you go to the council video archives and look under May 5th special meeting and then click on number 3, you can see a video of what the council did in session when they talked about this issue. I think it's rather interesting.
Great. Hey, Gary, thank you so much for, one, your interest and the email to us, because this is something that, well, again, we need to get invigorated with and come on down there and see exactly what the city council is wanting to do with our right to elect city officials.
I believe that very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You bet.
Bye, Gary. Okay. We just had a strong winds advisory. There's a storm system that's moving through the region today. It's going to produce strong winds. They're going to increase during the morning, possibly peaking in the afternoon. This advisory goes till 6 p.m. The city of Redding crews are ready to provide North State residents with assistance this week as we face high winds and heavy rain. So sandbags are available at Redding, the fire station number 4 on South Bonneview Road, and the city corporation yard on Viking Way. You get 25 bags per resident.
We're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. And welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bot. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Today, of course, is a holiday of the Martin Luther King, a celebration of his birthday, which was Friday the 15th. There are a lot of events going on today.
Yeah, despite the rain, there's still going to be the mile-long march in honor of Martin Luther King,
Jr., a series of events planned by the Shasta County Multicultural Board and the Martin Luther King Jr. Multicultural Center began this morning with an assembly at Old City Hall at 8 a.m., and they're going to continue their bell-ringing ceremony at Old City Hall at 9 a.m. with a prayer circle at the Shasta County Courthouse at 10:15 a.m. and sidewalk march from the courthouse to the MLK Center at 10:30 a.m., followed by a potluck at the Martin Luther King Center at 11 a.m. Boy, Bob, you've got the Weather Channel on. What's going on with the weather?
National Weather Service has issued a special weather statement that is in effect till this afternoon at 4 o'clock. A very wet and windy week ahead for Northern California. Very strong jet stream making its way across the Pacific will result in wet and windy weather across Northern California. Periods of what they're calling significant precipitation expected to occur all the way into the beginning of next week. According to this, again, from the National Weather Service, snow levels around 3,500 to 5,000 feet tonight and maybe lower later in the week. Rainfall totals by next Saturday, 3 to 6 inches.
Wow.
So, and there could be as much as 10 inches of rain up in the foothills. Of course, with the fires that we had last year, that could result in mudslides. Please, if you're going into the mountains, be prepared. And if your road is flooded, do not attempt to cross any flooded road or intersection. That's how people get into really big trouble.
Do not attempt. Use the buddy system.
Don't try this at home.
Next week we're going to have...
Even with four-wheel drive.
Right. Next week we're going to have Urban Survival Week. And plus we'll throw in a bunch of other little tidbits for if you are out in the backcountry, like having water in the car and ways of reaching people and all this. But... urban survival, and we've been discussing this weekend with people. And then I realized what I had done completely wrong when we were down in San Francisco was I didn't have a flashlight with me. That is really inexcusable that you go to a hotel someplace and you don't have a way of finding your way out of there if the lights go out. Or if the lights go out in your room, just be able to find your stuff so you can leave. You should always travel with a flashlight, and they're small, they just take a couple of small batteries, even one battery, and anything that can get you out of a place. Just a little helpful tip there. I was remiss in not doing it.
Just want to also give you a heads up. Be on the lookout. Be careful of some scams that are on the email. We have a friend that literally somebody hacked into her her phone book and was
her email book,
was able to send out some very inappropriate emails. So she's had to completely break it down and change it. But there are more sophisticated scams in the works to deceive people this tax season. The IRS phishing schemes are on the rise. A fake email last week asked U.S.-based employees to complete an updated government W-2 form, which is bogus. The IRS does not contact people through email or request bank account numbers, financial or other personal information online. Just know that you heard it here.
Yeah, so many scams. One of the things we really like is the emails we get from our listeners. I mean, we get... all different kinds, and things that we haven't seen. So this latest one happened down in Red Bluff, and I have to thank Terry for this, that on the 15th, charges were dropped against these three gentlemen that had 18 pounds of marijuana. The police initially found the 18 pounds of marijuana, of processed marijuana, two pistols, four rifles, two metal throwing stars, a butterfly knife, numerous illegal fireworks, and marijuana processing material. But then all men were found to have recommendations for the medical marijuana, and charges were dismissed in December. Now, the one person pled guilty to reduced charges for possessing a deadly weapon and, selling a switchblade. But here's this, 18 pounds of processed marijuana, and that's okay. Oh, hey, I've got a recommendation for this. And I guess when it says a recommendation, that you can use as much as you want. My sister and brother-in-law were in here this weekend, and we were driving by different places, and they said, well, how many of these shops do you have? And I said, well, I think the last count was somewhere between 30 and 40. But when you see something like this, you know, it used to be is that, you know, that if you had a, you know, if you had a knife, you know, a pocket knife and everything, you were okay. But nowadays, you know, people can give you a bad time. But if you had marijuana, you were really hammered. Now we've gotten to the point where 18 pounds is okay because, you know, maybe that's how much you need. Maybe you need to take a bath in it, which I understand was one of the recommendations for somebody. Maybe they had a skin condition, that marijuana can help that. You know, I think that that's a positive thing, of course. We got to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about one of the larger businesses here, but that is also a place to worship. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This is Carl and the Bot. We've talked about small business today, and we've talked about maybe a little bit larger business, but it's also a church here in town, and that's Bethel. We're talking a series of articles right now in the Record Searchlight on Bethel Church. And, you know, people, you know, Bethel Church has grown tremendously here over the last few years. The minister, Mr. Johnson, Bob Johnson, has helped it grow, of course. But one of the things is, and I'm not going to talk about the religious aspect of Bethel Church because it has grown, I mean, so significantly. It's got 3,000 people that attend worship. It brings in millions in revenue to our community. It has more than 30,000 people tuning in to its online media business. It's gotten to be a big business here. They've got 360 employees at Bethel Church. I didn't realize that.
360?
300. It's one of Shasta County's largest private employers. Not only that, but they bring thousands of people to Reading every year for conventions and also to go to the school here. They're the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry pulls in more than 1,000 students a year seeking faith healing techniques. I know that a lot of the people here are going also to learn how to get their degrees and to learn to be pastors so they can go out to churches and they can go out as missionaries. And that this has had an impact in our community in several ways. Is one, it's bringing so many people in from all over the world. I mean, literally from all over the world. But it also is they are taking, you know, they are doing a lot of the jobs here. We actually heard somebody say is that, you know, that went to Bethel and has, you know, a job as a waitress, that it made her life harder because so many students have come in here looking, you know, for jobs. And they, you know, they have housing here that Bethel helps. I did not realize just how big Bethel has gotten. They've got a high-tech communication center that they purchased for $900,000. And the total investment after they've done all the renovations has been like $1.6 million. And they had over 3,000 people attended a two-day February 2009 conference. Now, according to, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, that people spend $75 to $125 a day here, so it's well over $1 million that they're bringing in. They've got restaurants, hotel. I mean, restaurants and hotels have gained a lot of revenue from these conferences. They have, you think of Bethel Church as a ministry, but yet all the money they're bringing into our community, one of the largest employers in our county.
Well, you hear people on the street saying big things are happening at Bethel. We've never attended. Doesn't mean that, you know, I'm curious. We have friends very good friends that do attend, and the musical ministry is huge. And like I said, I remember going to a different with somebody. Well, three or four different, a stylist who came to town and like I said, I think we probably have a good 10 people we know that have come to Reading through Bethel and have stayed here.
Well, that's what they said. You know, people have come to the conferences and they end up coming back for vacations and they end up living here. You know, again, we're not advocating Bethel Church over any church. I'm looking at it as a business here in this town that I had no idea that the amount of money that Bethel Church brought in here. I mean, I knew it was a huge congregation. I know they stream. I know they've got their own, TV station that pushes things out. And according to Johnson, that he wants, the, you know, the church wants the same things that people in Reading would want. In the fact that it's, they want Reading to be a safe place. They want the, they want to be a place where their families can work and people have jobs. Some people in town, you know, they look at Bethel as being almost a competitor in some cases. You know, the fact is that so much money, I mean, they generate so much money too. You know, they've got, you know, millions and millions of dollars that come in here in tithing. It's just, It's a huge undertaking here, and you know they have anyway. The Record Searchlight is doing a series on this, and again, we're not advocating one church over another, but as long as we're talking business and what things have to happen, this is this is a major player in our county and our city.
If you want to go to our archives, go to KCNR1460.com. Pretty soon, we're going to have internet streaming. So, Bob, what do you have to say about that?
Well, and as a matter of fact, I'd like some listeners to give me a hand testing out another platform that we're working on that will bring video into the fold. It is not completely ready for prime time, but right now we're beta testing. So if you go to livestream.com/freefireradio, you'll basically see my smiling face in a picture of the console, and you should be able to hear our audio. Like I said, this is very much a beta test. We're not ready to really launch this thing huge, but maybe the audience can help me test the system. So, again, livestream.com/freefireradio. It'll play a short commercial. I think the last one I saw was for PG&E, and then it will launch the player, and you'll see basically what the inside of the studio, at least my half of it, looks like.
That sounds great.
We only want your half here. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindabott. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, Espresso Joe's probably a good place to go into today to get your get that hot coffee, because it is nasty out there and it's going to get worse. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on. But we've got another guest here. And
you know, we're right across from Old City Hall.
Yeah.
And so the Shasta Arts doing an invigorating show through educating, support, and practicing of, well, this is what I'm okay, help me out here. What's going on? I mean, you walked in and I saw this beautiful woman and I said, come on in, tell us what's happening. It's a fashion show. There's all kinds of artists. Tell us what's happening on the 23rd.
On the 23rd, there's going to be a fashion show at the Old City Hall, and it is supporter of the Shasta Art Council. And really the theme of the show is creativity and art. There is no set theme. It really is about expressing your creativity. And so we have about 11 local designers who are just putting their things on in the show and just displaying who they are. And so really it's a fundraiser for art. And the three coordinators, it's myself and then two others who came up with the idea to do this, is we met up with the Shasta Art Council, and they were like, well, put it on for us. It's about art. We support art, and we'll give you the building. And we were like, all right, sounds great.
Now, are you a Reading native?
No, I've been here for about 3 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so tell us about yourself.
Well, my name's Alicia Brand, and I'm 18 years old, and I've lived in Reading for about 3 years. And before that, I lived in South Africa for about 3 years, and my parents are missionaries. And so I grew up moving around and just experienced, like, so many different things. And I have such a heart for creativity and art and to see people develop in that. So really, I love this. I love the fact about the show that it can be about connecting and about creativity, and just it really excites me. So, yeah.
Did you come to Reading through Bethel?
I came to Reading for Bethel.
Bethel.
My older sister went to first year, and so my whole family, we just followed, and I attended first year. And
It's fascinating, because we were talking about Bethel before you walked in the door.
I heard.
The timing is incredible. So, okay, now the 23rd, and it's there are 11 artists. That are putting,
there's actually more. There's 11 designers.
11 designers. Mm-hmm. So how many people will be in the show, and tell us what we can expect?
There's going to be about 30 models in the show. There are 11 designers. Four of those are jewelry, and the rest are clothing designers. And then there's going to be a few artists displaying their artwork in the show. So really what you can expect is you come through the door. The door opens at 6:15, and there's going to be a silent auction available, and that's going to be artists displaying their jewelry. That's going to be artists displaying their art, and you can make bids on that as soon as you walk in the door. The show is going to start at 7 p.m. We're going to have two run-throughs of just complete original designs.
And what are your designs?
I actually don't design. I coordinated the whole event, so we came up with the idea and just put it together.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So do you like Reading?
I love Reading. It's great. I love the city.
Well, welcome. Thank you for sharing that with us. Again, that's Saturday on the 23rd. And the tickets are $20, $15 if you buy them in advance.
$15 if you're a Shasta Arts member.
Okay, that's what we want. Okay, great. Well, good. We'll see you Saturday night.
Well, thank you so much.
Before you get away here.
Yes.
Since we've just been talking about Bethel. Now, are you still going to school at Bethel?
I graduated first year last year and decided I need to start my college career. So I'm actually going to Shasta College this year and just beginning that. So. Yeah.
And what school did you go to last year at Bethel? What did you do at Bethel last year?
Well, I went through first year, which is just the ministry school, and yeah, it was an amazing experience. Like, it really helped develop who I am, you know, and just in God and everything else. So I really just enjoyed the experience.
They say there's like 1,300 students that go to school there from all over the world.
Yeah, it's getting bigger and bigger every year. It's like doubling. Last year, my class was about 800 or so. So
you came from South Africa to Reading.
Yes, ma'am.
See, that's what's fascinating about the Bethel experience is this international flair of people that are coming in because of the School of Ministry.
Mm-hmm. What they do is they send people out. So they go to the world, they spread about it, they spread about Bethel, you know, and then people hear about it, get excited, and just come here. So it really is just like this, I don't know what you want to call it, an airport. Like just people going in and out, in and out, in and out. So
now you're Shasta.
Yes.
And do you plan on keeping Reading as your home?
That really depends on my parents. We have always been kind of travelers, always moving around. So I don't know. I've never been in one place longer than 3 years. So this might be the place I've been longest. It might be home. We'll
see. This is fabulous that you're coordinating this show through the Arts Council. Yeah. And we definitely like Shasta. We love them. Across the street at the Old City Hall, Frank is outside pacing like a dad. Oh, my gosh.
He's so
we always welcome people to come in and talk about what's happening here because we are big supporters of the arts here.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you on Saturday night. I'm sure it'll be a spectacular, wonderful event. And, again, it's a fundraiser for the Arts Council.
Well, thank you.
And the arts.
Yes.
Well, it's always good to find somebody from Bethel Church, although it seems like everywhere you go to, you find people from Bethel Church. Talking about Shasta College, the president of Shasta College will be our guest here in the next week or so. We want to talk about what's going on out there. And speaking of guests, we have a group last week that covered the whole gamut. Well, this week we're starting again. Tomorrow we've got Richard Merriman, who has been a nuclear plant inspector for the last 20 years. Richard is a very, very knowledgeable man when it comes to nuclear energy. Yeah, I know, I'm starting to sound like I'm from Texas. But what he talks about, when we've had him on our show before, he talks about the dangers of nuclear energy and the myths about the dangers and what's happened in the past, how that directly relates on us now, and then what's going to be happening in the future. It's going to be a really interesting show. He is the man to ask questions to about how safe is it. Now, he's got no dog in a fight because he inspects these plants. And what he has is just facts. Facts about how hard it is to the amount of SOPs, standard operating procedures, for everything you do at a nuke plant, where you've got procedures to tell you how to do the procedures. He's going to be a great guest tomorrow. And write down 605-4567 because he can answer almost any question you have when it comes to talking about nuclear energy. And it's going to be great. Friday, Larry Lees, Shasta County Admin officer, administrative officer. He's going to be on Friday. He's going to be talking about Shasta County and what we're, where we're going in Shasta County, where we've been last year, what we've got something to look forward to. If we've got anything to look forward to, I hope we do. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It's our last segment. I talked about Richard Merriman being here tomorrow, and then Larry Lee's on Friday. But we've also got Shasta County Superintendent of Schools, Tom Armolino, will be here Wednesday. And there's a lot of questions there, too, on the impacts of the budgeting crisis, what's going on in schools, the regional occupation program, the amount. Some of the questions that I have is, college, people that are going on to college from our county schools, where do our students, when they graduate, where do they go to? They go in the military, they find local jobs, they do, because the percentage of them, from what I've been told, and I hope that this percentage is wrong, even though I got it from an educator that is in the place to know, is something like 7%, only 7% of the graduates of Shasta County schools go on to college. And that to me is it seems like an awfully low number, but maybe we're not the only one. Maybe the North State has got a lower number of people that are attending.
It's 8:53 in the morning. In case you're just tuning in, 605-4567 is our studio hotline. Something that's kind of bugging me that I read about, Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines are going into Haiti now. Hello. There are people still buried in the rubble.
They're going into Haiti?
They're going into Haiti. Is it too soon for cruises to go into Haiti? What would you? Could you imagine if you were on board? Yeah, we're going to Haiti.
Well, they've still got looters going along the streets. They're shooting people, and they've got armed forces, from the United States. They got like 8,000 paratroopers down there trying to bring order back. The amount of people. I mean, the destruction there. And Port-au-Prince is almost total. It's almost total. What they're doing now, they're not looking for live people anymore. They're using heavy equipment to pull down these buildings and start looking for bodies. And they're burying them in mass graves, which is the only thing they can do because of, it's...
What are you going to do?
There's no way they can identify them. They don't have the structure, the infrastructure to identify the dead. And it helps cut down on disease. But I can't believe that Royal Caribbean...
Independence of the Seas, one of the world's largest cruise ships, went ahead with a scheduling call along the relatively unaffected north coast of the country on Friday, and another Royal Caribbean ship, the 3,114-passenger Navigator of the Seas, arrived along the coast today.
Well, unaffected North Coast. Well, maybe it's, they do need the money, but I just can't help but think this is not the time to go into Haiti. It's right after these earthquakes. I mean.
Well, on the other side, it said they're bringing relief supplies, and those were quickly loaded on and off, and they've also promised to give at least $1 million in humanitarian relief for Haiti. And, boy, right now, the Canadians, there's been 11 reported Canadians dead and 859 missing. So when you're reading statistics like that, that's just from Canada, and people are trying to, relocate people that they know. Of course, we've been talking about Bethel. I'm not sure. Recently on the news, there was some missionaries that were from Bethel in Haiti. I don't know if they've been.
They got out.
Okay, good.
But the other thing too is the amount of money that's pledged to help, help Haiti recover. And you've got former presidents Clinton and George W. Bush, leading a charge down there to help, and work on the infrastructure and to raise money. But somebody said this, is one person dying is a tragedy. When you get a statistic like 200,000 dying, that's just what it becomes. It becomes a statistic because it's so difficult for you to picture this, that you had, all of Redding's gone. Probably a lot of the North State is gone if those figures are true, that many people are killed. And again, we must warn you about scams that people, of course, people have no integrity. This is the way they make their money. There's no moral issue here. They just want to make money off you. They're going to, help the people in Haiti. So what you do is, you go to reputable areas, you go to the Red Cross, go to your church if you want to give. And there has been, again, millions and millions of dollars raised to help people.
Also in the news, red light cameras, different states that have banned them altogether, being fed up with them. And, of course, we had relatives that visited from Tennessee, and we're talking about the cameras. How much do they get charged for their red light fees?
$40.
What are we, in the hundreds?
$250, I think. I think it's a minimum of $250.
I know they were talking about when they were out here how expensive everything is in California.
Try Vegas.
Yeah. Well, you know, $40 for running a red light there and $250 out here. But, you know, we got to make money somehow.
So Maine, Mississippi, and Montana banned camera lights last year. And it, joining at least four other states, Nevada, New Hampshire, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. So I think I think that we need to ban red lights.
Well, you know what, you know,
the automated, you've got them the wrong way, and they flash.
Well, you've got, you know, Chief Modi, when he was chief, before he was supervisor, said, you know, you've got a much better chance of being killed in a car wreck than you do somebody shooting you or anything else. And this was their way of trying to bring down the amount of wrecks and people hurt, was these red light cameras. And again, we do not pay for the red light cameras. The people that put the red light cameras in get their money off the fines. However, anything over that, we as a city get. And I think they charge, you know, like $4,000 to $6,000 per light.
Didn't they also say in Tennessee that they take a picture of the car and the license plate, but not the person driving it? Whereas we do the person driving the car, but the passenger's blacked out.
Yeah. So due to privacy issues, somebody got in trouble because when they had a picture at 2:00 in the morning, he's with a young lady. His wife did not appreciate that at all.
Big Brother.
The communities are standing up and saying, you know what, we're not going to do this. You know, we're going to just ban these things. I don't know if you can put it on.
Again, there's a wind advisory. Be careful. That is going to be in effect till 6 p.m. It's currently 50 degrees, raining, and the winds are supposed to be picking up today, so be careful. And, again, KTNR1460.com is our website. We'd love taking your emails, reading about what you think and who you'd like to have on as guests. We are here to serve you.
Yeah, our guest tomorrow, again, Richard Merriman. We're going to be talking nuclear energy, the future of it here in the country, you know, at least from somebody that's an expert in this field, and about the new plants that are starting, the ones that are already here, and the dangers. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.